Let me start with someone who had wanted to be here, but who isn't here. It's called David Wolsk. He was one of the first people to sign up for this conference, but he died a short while ago. And I would like him to be here in another way. I'll let you just read what comes on the screen, if you may do so in silence, to ensure that his memory will be present. Thank you, and thank David for the contribution he made. This, I think, is important in terms of meaning, and I hope we will be able, in the work that we do, to follow in his footsteps. I'll use the rest of the time that I have to run you briefly through a couple of slides about our presentation. There are other people who will still be coming around this hour who advise me that it would be later. There are other people, some other people who will be here only for 2 days, like Federico Mayor, for instance, a very busy schedule, the former Director General of UNESCO and the current President of the Foundation for a Culture of Peace, that he will be with us, so will be some other people. During my 10 minutes, I will run you through those 4 points here. The first one, why we do this. There are objectives and there are desired outcomes that I've listed here. TSM stands for the scientific mind. First of all, we're interested in establishing this as a relevant construct, something that we can work with. As you could hear from the people who intervened in the first 15 minutes, this is sort of new. I think that's widely recognized. Even though we talk about a mind, we never give it hands and feet. It's important we start doing that. That's just the purpose of this meeting here. And we call it deliberately a colloquium. We want to be talking together on this issue. Then if we get a handle on this concept, we'd like to study its implications in several areas, and people have arrived here with specific interests already in mind, and they'll be working on those specific issues, and we would like to build communities around this concept, people who say, hey, we'd like to work together after this conference. This is not just the 4 days that we are here, but this should have a longer breadth. And their expected outcomes, we, as you know, because you have been approached already by my colleague Yusra Visser, we are working on proceedings for this meeting, so there will be something permanent in terms of writing. There, we'd like to construct maps of what the scientific mind actually is, and also of what the the conditions are for the development of the scientific mind, and then there are those collaborative networks that we also see as a potential outcome. There are several assumptions behind doing this. First of all, the scientific mind, we assume, is something that, yes, it's probably present in most scientists, at least that's what we hope, but it's a mindset that's not only relevant for scientists, it's relevant for everyone, and that's the main reason why we want to work on this. It's not to create the next generation of scientists, not just that. It's something that's useful for everyone, particularly useful in terms of building a better world, which was the main message that you received during the first 15 minutes. We also assume that it's a definable concept in terms of its emphasis in how human beings approach the world. Then we also assume that it's something that people can actually acquire. It's not something that you're born with, and some people may not be born with. No, we are assuming that everyone can acquire a scientific mind of some sort, and that there are conditions that can be identified that facilitate the growth of the scientific mind. Who are we? Well, a small group of people, very much multidisciplinary. We come from all kinds of walks of life, practicing scientists, whether the so-called hard sciences, the mathematized sciences, or what they call the soft sciences. I don't think that the distinction is very useful. Science is just science. It's knowledge. It's methods to acquire, to produce knowledge that we're interested in. And it's independent, actually, as Luke was explaining, whether you're talking about a physical phenomenon or a social phenomenon. Then, very luckily, we are not really 50-50% in terms of gender, but comparing with many other conferences that I attend, I'm very glad that we managed to get a 35% female presence here. Then in terms of geographical representation, there are about 43% from the European Union, a 35% from North America, USA and Canada. Then there Eastern Europe for 4%, it's underrepresented, and 18% from developing countries, which is not a bad achievement either. And I should mention that there are two last-minute dropouts of this meeting that were quite important. Actually, they are in your program, and I consider them participants. They will be participating virtually. That's Paul Grobstein from Bryn Mawr College in the United States, who had to cancel his everything. He had signed off, made a hotel reservation, everything because of something that interfered with his coming here. But he will be presenting by teleconferencing this afternoon at 2:30. No, what am I saying? 1:30 sharp, immediately after lunch. So be sure you are here in the meeting. I'll be calling him. And I don't want him to get up early in the morning at his side of this point in the world and have to wait for us. And there's Yusra Visser, whom you've been in contact with in connection with the proceedings, who unfortunately, due to a situation with the U.S. Immigration Service, has to stay there as long as a procedure is running for the renewal of her work permit in that country. She will also be intervening virtually through teleconferencing tomorrow. So then, the way of operating, I think you're already familiar with it, if you have indeed studied the program of the meeting. There are six different strands that run through this meeting. One that we are in now, that's the top one, the blue one, which is general, relates to procedures of the conference and the generics. Then there is the Knowledge Cafe, and it was already in operation thanks to some people. Others will join later. It takes place physically in the atrium on the first floor, where we also have lunch and coffee. Then there are there's an area, a strand, that is dedicated to building consensus around a number of things, like what do we all think the scientific mind really is, and what we all think are the conditions that need to be in place in a society in order to promote the development of the scientific mind. Then there are plenary sessions where you will be exposed to the thoughts of others. There won't be much discussion there. There may be no discussion at all. But they are short. They are like 1 hour, three speakers for 20 minutes each. And you'll be exposed to that. It will be food for thought that you will then use in the other sessions, in work group sessions, to be inspired by. Then there is the work of special interest group, called it the Scientific Mind in Action. Those groups will be looking at, what are the implications of the scientific mind, for instance, for internet-based communities of learning, or what are the implications for it in the broadcast media, or how does it relate to health behavior of human beings, in particular HIV/AIDS. There's a fairly large group here who have chosen to work on that. There's a group that wants to work on what are the implications for this in terms of lifelong learning in a context that includes science museums and things like that, nature parks and what have you. And then the last strand, building vision and commitment regarding what to do next. We don't want this to be just the 4 days that we are here. We will encourage you to think of this as a starter rather than as a 4-day event with an end to it. The end is far, far in the future, and so we would like at the end of the 4 days to see evidence of the dynamics that people will carry this forward in terms of concrete networking relationships and concrete intentions of work that they will want to engage in, and that we can support, and that we may follow up on in BTSM 2007 perhaps. We may define a date when a next meeting of this nature should take place if we indeed feel that we are successful this time. Then there's a need to be punctual. And I think so far we've managed well. It's 11 o'clock, which is exactly the time that we should be here at the end. There's this bell that will sound when we do not observe the time, so I'll appoint someone to be the keeper of the time later in the proceedings, but for now, this is the end of this short introduction to our meeting, and then we go on immediately with the first activity. And the first activity